be here this morning is a gift. It's an opportunity. Help us not to take this for granted, but to be receptive and to accept to be transformed and changed. Lord, we know that you are already here. But what we are asking for now is that you help us to feel your holy presence among us. That this meeting is not just one of the meetings, but it will be a life-transforming experience for every one of us. Speak, Father, and help us to listen. In the name of Jesus, amen. For about a few years now, I've decided not to go to a meeting or to speak when I know it will be just a meeting. I would like every meeting to be an event that God will change my life. I would like a meeting to be used by God to revolutionize my entire existence and for me to be closer to God. And this is one of them. I'm here today. I'm praying to God. And I've prayed for this meeting that when we go out of this meeting, we will not be the same again. Amen. We don't want just to go for meetings and we go in and we go out the same. It is a kind of entertaining ourselves spiritually. There's no change. I don't want to continue that way. I want every meeting to be an encounter with God. Amen. To be the time when you meet God personally. When yourself, you feel and you sense that God has changed you, has changed me. So I would like this meeting to be that way. And I'm praying that the topic that we are going to study today will help us to reach that goal. Because the goal is to meet God. The goal is to be changed. The goal is to be ready for heaven. And the goal is to be instrumental in changing lives. Not for this life only, but for eternity. So my topic today is key to answered prayers. This is a kind of a prayer seminar. We are praying a lot and we are studying the Word of God. So we are kind of specializing in prayer here. So the question is, what is the key to answered prayers? I have been wrestling with this topic. When I studied the Bible, I tried to do that from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, and I studied the prayers in the Bible. And I realized that most of the prayers, they were answered by God positively. Have you noticed that? Go and list all the prayers in the Bible, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. What you will see is a record of answered prayers. Only few exceptions. You can count them in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. David, for example, he had one, at least one, when he prayed for the child not to die. That was a prayer that was not answered positively. He prayed also for him to build a temple. And God said, no, you will be part of it, but you just gather the material for it. But your son will build it. And then you go to the Old New Testament. You see, Paul, he asked, and God said, no. For the thorn in the flesh, stop asking. That one I will not answer. So those are the few negative answers. But if you go through the Bible, you will see that most of their prayers were answered by God positively. I was puzzled by that. I said, Lord, that must be the pattern. Because when we think of the reality, I don't know about you, but generally speaking, it is kind of the opposite. Many no answers. It is like prayer, this one no, this one no, this one, this is yes. Many no's and few yeses. And then we are not used to have many yeses. If you have just few, then we keep on repeating that. Said, God has done this, God, it's good. But it should be the opposite. Very few no answers, and most of our prayers will be answered positively. I think this is the missing ingredient in our personal spiritual life and as a church. I don't know how many prayers have been offered and not been answered. We have not, only God knows how many prayers. But I can guess so many prayers were not answered positively. Is it that God has changed his mind to say that in the past, in the Bible, I used to answer a lot positively, but these days I have changed my mind. I don't like to give it. I make it hard for you, 21st century people. But for the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was easier to get a yes answer. Is that true? I think you agree with me that that is not true. So my topic this morning is to share with you my humble findings. I've been wrestling with this for a few years and studying the Bible and studying the spirit of prophecy on my knees, studying, trying to understand. Because I said to myself, if I know this very key, if I know that most of my prayers will be answered, then I will be different. Then the church will be different. And the work will be done sooner. And Jesus will come sooner. So this is, to me, it's vital. Prayer. Answered prayers. It is vital. So what is the key to answered prayers? In Psalm, as I said, Psalm 65, verse 2. Oh, you who hear prayer to all flesh will come. You know, God in the Bible, God chooses names. And every choice conveys a message. So God calls himself a God who hears prayer. He wants us to know that with God, God, he likes to answer our prayers. And that's okay. You know, you parents, we are here. We know that we really want to answer the request, to grant the request of our children. And when we say God is our Father, it is just logical that in his heart, he wants to answer our prayers. Said, oh, you who hear prayer to all flesh will come. And Jesus said in John chapter 11 and verse 41 and 42, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. So Jesus Christ said, I know that you always hear me. I'm praying today. I'm saying this not because of me, but because of these people around here. So in his relationship with God, with his Father, it is so clear that his prayers were answered. And even the one in Gethsemane, if you analyze it, it was not a denial, because he knew that that was the plan of God for him, plan of the Father for him to die. Okay, and then in John chapter, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. What is then the key? The key is this one. I read, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So the word whatever is there. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him, according to the will of God. And I read this. This is the confidence. We have read that already. So the key is to know the will of God. Our prayer must be according to the will of God. We will continue. And Paul said this. This is the key. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So, we can get a yes answer if our prayer is according to the will of God. So the key is to know the will of God. And when we analyze the prayers in the Bible, they don't say at the end of the prayer, praying and then we ask this, grant this if it is your will. Have you read that? In the Bible, we don't find it. So why then? You know, we try to kind of to be sure. We pray, and then he said, may your will be done. We ask something, and then we put at the end there, may your will be done, which is good. It is a submissive, surrendering attitude. But why then? Why then in the Bible, when they prayed, when, for example, Joshua asked the sun to stop. He did, that is quite a prayer, right? Go and try that. I think that is the best example to put fast at the end of the prayer, if it is according to your will. So that at least you are protected to say that, yes, I have asked that, but if it is not according to the will of God, it's okay. Let it not happen. Then you are safe. But how come then Joshua did not say that? Oh, may this sun stop if it is according to your will. It is all, I mean, this is a kind of a good illustration of kind of presumption. If you do that now, people will say, hey, what is going wrong with you? Why are you praying that way? And then many things in the Bible, some challenging things that the people in the Bible asked for, but they did not say, if it is your will. So why? Is praying according to the will of God did not apply then? Of course, yes. But what was the difference? You see, the difference is this. What comes first? It is like you have a check and you go and you ask for clearance for that check. So the according to the will of God is the clearing of the check. For them, they did it before. Before praying, they did the clearing before. But for us, we wait, we pray first, and then you say, if you can clear this check, it will be fine. But they did that before. And we will come to that. So, the according to the will of God, it was done before, not after. That's why when they prayed, they were so sure because the check has been cleared. They don't need to say if it is your will. Because in their relationship with God, God told them that it is according to his will. Go and ask for it and you will have it. So when they stand, when Joshua prayed for the sun to stop, he knew in his relationship with God, God told him to ask for that. So he didn't need to say if this is according to your will. So the key is to know the will of God. But how to know the will of God? Because that is the key to answered prayer. How to know the will of God? Here is one. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. To know the will of God, we need to pray to know the will of God. Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Okay, now, we need to know what to do to know the will of God. And here another text again. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. That we may know God better. To know the will of God, you have to know him. You have to know God. It is just like my wife and I, married for almost 30 years. So, it is so wrong if I try, for example, to ask something, let's say 9 times, and she says no. I said, my wife, can you do this for me? No. 9 times and only once, yes. Meaning, I don't really know her. Because if I know her, even before I ask, I should know if this is yes or no. And if I know it will be a no, I would say, well, let me stop. I don't need to ask. Because, you know, so I will save her from saying no. You know, to say no to a loved one, it's so hard. To say, yeah, no, I can't really do that. So you save that one to say, no, I don't want her to say no, so I better stop. I'm not going to ask. Because if you keep, you know that she will say no, but you keep on asking. And she has a reason for it. And then you keep on asking. Then the relationship is faulty. So knowing the will of God is to know God. To know him personally. Knowing the mind of God. This experience again. My wife and I. Even if she does not open her mouth, I just look at her. I know almost 90% what is in her mind. She looks at me or I looked at her. Then I can't guess. And the same thing with the voice. You see, I've been traveling in my work for about almost 3 weeks per month. Only stay at home and the office for a week or so. So I've been in touch via Skype or email or phone. When I phone my wife, I would not say, hello, this is Paul Ratzara. May I talk to Denise, please? That is the name of my wife. No, it is not like that. He said, hello, how are you? You start right away the conversation. There's no introduction. There's no, this is so and so. Right away. Because just one word will be enough to know who is speaking. Why? Because we know each other. Many times, our prayers are not answered because we don't know God. We need to say, hello, God, this is Paul Ratsara. Do you remember me? We have met some time ago. You remember that time? It's me. Can I talk to you now? Do you have a minute? No. If we know God, no introduction. Right away, we speak. And when we know God, God would not say, here I am. I am God. Do you remember me? No, God will speak right away. No introduction because of this relationship. And prayer is about relationship, about knowing God, knowing the mind of God. As long as we put prayer in a kind of a list, like a grocery list, he said, okay, I need this, 1, 2, 3, 4. It is about relationship, asking God, knowing God personally. Look at this, from the spirit of prophecy, Christ object lesson. If we keep the Lord ever before us, allowing our hearts to go out in thanksgiving and praise, to Him, we shall have continual freshness in our religious life. Our prayers will take the form of conversation with God as we would talk with a friend. And listen to this. You will speak His mysteries to us personally. You see, it is about relationship. If you have a close friend, he or she volunteers to reveal things to you. You don't even need to ask. He said, I understand that there is something going on in your life. I heard it with someone. Can you share that? That is not friendship. He or she will rush and tell you. You know, you will be the first one. You don't even ask. He volunteers to say, you know what? Something happened to me yesterday. He did not ask. But because he or she is your friend, he volunteers to say, to share that. And God is our friend. And if he is our friend, then he volunteers to share things with us, even if we don't ask. And one of them is his will. To share, you know, his plan. You know, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to open that work in a far country. This is my plan, and I want you to go there. His plan, he reveals things to us. And he said, personally, to you. And that is the key to answered prayer. Knowing God's will. And he was called the friend of God. Who is that? Abraham. The friend of God. You see, he was called by people the friend of God. He earned that name in the community. He said, do you know Abraham? Who is Abraham? Oh, no, that one, the friend of God. He has God as his friend. What a title. I really like that. I would like to be known as the friend of God. But you know, you can claim to be friend of a famous person. But until that person confirms that you are his friend, people will not really believe. And God himself confirmed. He said, Abraham, my friend. So people say, okay, Abraham is a friend of God. And God confirmed it. He said, yes, Abraham is my friend, my personal friend. And that is the key to answered prayer. Why these people, they got answered prayers almost all the time? Because they were friends of God. They were so close to God. And God would reveal to them what is will. And in everyday life, it happens. In Christ's object lesson, page 147, we must not only pray in Christ's name, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This explains what is meant when it is said that the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Such prayer God delights to answer. Delights to answer. He likes that prayer. Prayer inspired by God. That is the meaning of Acts chapter 8. I understood this better about 5 years ago. We had to relocate our office to another country. And you know, our office is an international office where many people from different nationalities work at the division. We represent 23 countries. So for us to have to relocate our division office to another country, we had to ask for work permit for our staff. Some of the staff who are not citizens of the country where we are going. So we decided to request in bulk. Went to the embassy of that country. And they said, no, we cannot give you in bulk. We have to apply. The maximum we can accept is seven applications. So we did that. We sent seven applications for work permit. Somehow they denied the seven. And we said, no, we need to stop this. We don't know how many more they are going to deny. And we are talking about staff here. We are talking about the team here. We don't want even one to remain. Those who should go. So I said to the team, we need to pray about this, pray more about this, and we need to stop the application. But we need to pray and act at the same time. Work and pray and work. That is God's formula. So we prayed and we strategized at the same time. This is what we call agonize and organize. You agonize, and at the same time, you organize. Many times we just organize, and we don't agonize enough. So we did this, and we prayed, and the Lord has given us the idea. He said, no, you should meet the man who signs the work permit. We did not want to deal with even the ambassador of that country. We went to the country, but we did not go there alone. Because he didn't know us. So we said, let's look for someone who knows him. Who actually is friend. So we looked, and fortunately we found a lawyer who is the friend of the man who grants this. So we said, brother, please help us. Can you come and plead for us? He said, yes, sure. So we went there. To begin with, the man was so cold because he said no already. To the seven, I understand, I'm sure they were in touch with the embassy. So to change the decision could have hard. But we prayed, and after some time he became so open and very helpful. Now it is almost like the opposite. What he did? He said, okay, I'm going to help you. Write me a letter. And he almost dictated the letter He said, write this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And he said, today, you don't even need to write this as a hard copy. So just fax it to me. And I will answer. When we left that place, we were assured that sure enough, we will get the work permit of our staff. What is the difference? We didn't know the man. And now the difference also, he told us what to do. What are the things that we needed to write? And we did it, and we got the work permits of everybody. The difference, same applications, but the difference was the relationship. And we didn't know probably what to write. And the Holy Spirit is just doing that. He said, we must not only pray in Christ's name, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This explains what is meant when it is said that the Spirit maketh intercession for us. And down there, such prayer God delights to answer. So when we become the friend of God, the Holy Spirit will tell us what to ask. The Holy Spirit said, listen, go and ask for this. Like a friend, he likes to sponsor projects. And he came to me. He said, Paul, there is money for this. Go and ask for it. And they were the one who granted this. Do you think that when I ask, I will be denied? No, they are the one. But they said, go and ask for it. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell us what to ask. And even the way we ask for it. And that's why it said here, again, the spirit of prophecy. I read, for what nation is there so great? Who has God so nigh unto them? As the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him. If we will draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. And his glory will go before us. He will indict our petitions, teaching us to ask for the very things that he has pledged himself to bestow on us. So he will tell us what to ask and how to ask it. Indict. It is a legal term to say that he is going to arrange it in such a way that the answer will be yes. So that's why you, when we read in the Bible, pray in the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit will inspire not only the way we say it, but the very thing that we'll ask. And do you think that when the Holy Spirit asks us to ask for something, do you think that will be a negative answer? No. It is said, as we read, God delights to answer those prayers. So that is the answer to this question. What do we need to do to have our prayers answered? We need to know God. We need to know his mind. We need to be close to him so much that you will reveal the very thing that he wants us to ask. In his name, time is against us. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. But to pray in the name of Jesus is something more than a mere mention of that name at the beginning and the ending of a prayer. It is, let's read together, it is to pray in the mind and spirit of Jesus while we believe his promises, rely upon his grace, and work his works. You see, this is the relationship, the mind of God, is to know the mind of God, the will of God. So in summary, that is the key. It is to know the mind of God, to be the friend of God. Do you know God personally? Or you just know? Do you have God as your personal friend? Or it is only the God of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Or the God of your family? The God of the book? Or he is your God? That is the problem. Many times we have only God as the God of the church. Yes, he's the God of the church. He's the God of his people. But he must be your God personally. And that is the reason why we are here. Not only to have this God as a God of movement, the movement, but the God of you personally. Spending time with God. To know his mind. And then we know his will. And when we pray, then we will pray according to his will. We don't need to doubt if it is his will. Because we have processed that before even ask. God has already said this is his will. Of course, we may miss some. We are not perfect yet. Like the example of me and my wife. I may miss some. I may maybe I guessed it wrongly. I may guess it wrongly. And she may say, no, I can't do that. But if it is a pattern for her to say every time I ask, he said, no, I can't do that. Every time, then there is something wrong. We may miss, like Paul, for example. He didn't know that thorn in the flesh should not be removed. He missed that. But it was just an exception, not a pattern. That should be our prayer as well. It should be an exception. The no answer should be an exception, not a pattern. What do you think? Can you imagine? If 9 out of 10 of your prayers will be granted. What do you think about that? That will revolutionize your entire life, your spiritual life, your church. If the church, for example, all of us here, during this time, we pray according to the will of God, meaning we process it already with God. And then in that prayer room, right here, all the prayers that we are going to ask 9 out of 10 or 7 will be granted positively. And I do believe, my brothers and my sisters, that this is the key to finish God's work. Because when you pray for souls, the spirit of prophecy says that prayer God cannot resist. If you pray, for example, you want to have 10 cars, God said, wait a minute, do you really need 10 cars? You said, oh, I need 10 houses. He said, well, wait a minute, let me process that. But if you ask for souls, and you pray and agonize for souls like John Knox, give me Scotland or I die, then God will answer that kind of prayer. God answer those kind of prayer. You see, praying for souls, that should be our first priority. Many times our prayer is just around ourselves. Help me, help my wife, help my children. There's nothing wrong praying for our family. But that should be just stage one. That should be just level one. Many times we remain at level one. Level one is praying for yourself, praying for your family, praying for my job, which is good. We need to do. But we should go to the next level. Praying for others, praying for their salvation, praying for those who do not know Jesus Christ. And that kind of prayer, God delights to answer. You see, I have a brother, my young brother. He left the church. He left the church after a few years. And then one day, it was a big burden in my life. I said, look at me. I'm preaching all over the world, sharing the good news, but my own brother will miss heaven. That was in August, about 3 years ago. Then I said, no. Instead of just lamenting, we don't need to write a book of lamentation. One is enough in the Bible. We need to write the book of Acts, because the book of Acts, there is no conclusion of the book of Acts. So I said, no, I'm not going to lament for the things that I've not done. Let me act now. And the action was prayer. So in August, I decided to pray. I said, Lord, I cannot command you, and I will not, because I'm just dust and ashes. But I am your child. My heart is sore because of my brother. He is now far from you. He said, by the end of this year, I said, August, he said, by the end of this year, I'm pleading, Lord, that my brother will be back. And he left for about 5 years, the church. August, I prayed. I cried to God, Lord, bring back my brother. Nothing happened. August, September, October, and then November. That was the time when I need to go back to my home country for a meeting, because it is part of our division. So I said, I must pray and act at the same time. I sent a message. My brother, I'm coming. Can you come to the capital city where the meeting will be? I did not tell him why. Can you come? We just want to spend some time together. Can you come? I gave him the time, and I gave him also the location. I sent that message, no answer. And when I landed, my heart started to pump. Because I said, wait for me at the gate of the union office at this time. So when I approached the office of that union, I didn't know. He did not respond. When I approached the gate, I saw him waiting. I said, Lord, this is good news. But I had to rush for a meeting. He said, listen, this is the key. We are going to share the room today. You don't need to find another accommodation. We are going to share the room. You know, we need also, I wanted him to be a captive audience. And he said, yes, go and open the room. I'm going for a meeting. Just after the meeting, I will come. And that will be in the evening then. And after the meeting, I went to the room, and he was there. And I was just like the prodigal son. My speech was ready. I've been preparing this for 4 months. So I started my speech. And you know what? The same thing like the prodigal son. I was interrupted by him. He said, you know what? About 15 days ago, something happened to me. I don't know how to explain it. There was this urge in my heart to go back to God. And I just knelt down. My wife couldn't believe it. My children, they were already teenagers, the children, couldn't believe it. I said, my brother, I am back to God now. I did not finish my speech. That is the unfinished speech. And the remaining time, we're just rejoicing, praising God. And he gave him some tips not to go back to that world ways of life. And right now, actually, after a few months only, he won souls for Christ. And I went there to baptize these people. And now he is a mighty soul winners for Christ. He is leading the preaching, the evangelistic program in that area. The mighty soul winner. God delights to answer this kind of prayer. And that's why we should never give up on our children, on our relatives. Claim it's the will of God. But you need to be close to God. Pray, spend more time to know God. We are so busy doing many things, and we said, I don't have time to pray. What you try to say is that I don't have time to for that prayer. I have time for many things, but not for prayer. We need to readjust our priority. God first. That is the key to answered prayer. And then, when we pray that way, we will have power to preach the gospel. And this is the key to finish God's work. To have that kind of answered prayer. I will conclude. You see, Zambia, the country of Zambia, is one of the countries that the work is really growing. Probably it can be one of the largest union. More than 700,000 members, baptized members in that country alone. But the northern part of that country is, it is so hard to penetrate the gospel because the community resist. There is a particular area that in a place, it is a vast area, not even one Adventist. Because every time we send someone there, they would frustrate that someone and they would park and go home. But this is happening right now. This is happening right now. We send a brother to be a pioneer. His name is Sid Gabriel Chalwe. With his family, you went there. And again, the community started to use their method to frustrate any attempt to establish a church there. First strategy is that, you know, in that area, you don't have a motel. It is in the rural area in the country there. When you go to a village, you ask for the hospitality. There is no guest house or motel. You have that in the towns and the cities. So they went there and they decided not to welcome the family, not to give him a house, a home to stay. First night, they had to spend the night outside with the entire family, children. But this man, he knows God, Gabriel, and he's a praying man. He said, no, I will not give up. Second night, no house, no accommodation. Spend the night outside. Third night, same thing. He refused to give up. Finally, the people in the village, he said, no, we are too cruel. Look at these children. Are we going to, this man will not give up. Are we going to treat them like this? Let's give them accommodation. But one thing, don't ever allow him to talk to you about Jesus. We can talk about some other things, but not about God. So they decided not to allow him to share. So he was there, and they decided that every one of them will not give him opportunity. And he prayed. He is a praying man. They prayed, asking God to give them the key. And God inspired him to do something that I have not read in the Bible. read in any book about reaching out. He said, well, if the normal people will refuse to talk to me about God, let me talk to the mad people, the mentally disturbed people. So he went and looked for all the mentally disturbed people around, and he found seven of them. Seven of them. And he started to talk to them. Of course, the community didn't mind. They said, maybe this man also start to be mentally disturbed. He's talking to mentally disturbed people. So they didn't really mind. So he talked to them, but he did not only talk to the mad people, he prayed for them. And seven of them were healed. And they started the Bible studies. And they were the first converts. Seven. And one of them was the chief. The chief of the area, he had also the sickness. He was also mentally disturbed. But when he was healed, he realized that he was the chief. He said, oh, I am the chief of this place. And this is my church. I have to give a land to build a church here. But the community protested. He said, no, chief, we respect you, but please don't ever give land to these people. No, the chief said, I have to. This is my church. No. They said, please don't ever. So it was a big dispute. While they were disputing, something happened. An elephant with its calf. You know, calf, when the little one, they are more dangerous than the lions when they have the little one, an elephant, attacks right away and finishes in less than a minute. So an elephant with its calf, the little one, moved into the land and stayed there. First day, during they started already to use the land. They didn't have a building, but they started to use the land for Sabbath day, to have the Sabbath school and divine service and in the afternoon. So the elephant and with its little one established themselves there. And they said, you know, chief, even the animals know that they should not occupy this land. Why are you insisting? Even the animals. You should not give this land. And then he said, we will see now, where are they going to spend the Sabbath, this coming Sabbath? The elephants are there. So they were there enjoying themselves, the community. Said, you see, you know, we are right. These people are bad people. They cannot occupy this land. But Sabbath morning, the elephant and with its little one moved out of the land, of the plot of land, not to go to the forest, just far enough to watch. So, you know, the elephant hid herself to be a free security guard, for free of charge. So the elephant just moved out. You see, elephant also can't keep Sabbath. Moved out and watched them worshiping the whole day, from morning till evening. And when they collected their stuff, the elephant with the little one moved in. Moved in. The prayer. When you pray according to the will of God, even elephant can be used by God. Amen. To answer your prayer. I still have many things to share, but maybe later on. But let me conclude here to say that there must be a paradigm shift in our prayer life. Amen. We should not continue the way we pray. Someone has defined insanity us keep repeating the same thing and expect to get different results. If the way we pray now is not working, why are we continuing doing that? We should not. And my prayer is that this time, don't wait for next week. This time, today. Amen. Today, we must take a stand to say, Lord, I start with being your friend first. Amen. That is the idea. Be the friend of God. Don't worry about prayer and this and that. You have to foster the relationship with God. Amen. Be close to God. And prayer will be the product of that relationship. Because when you pray, when you are the friend of God, God wants to share his gifts to a friend. You know, we have friends. Even if you don't ask, a friend will give you something. Can you take this? I give this. I prepare this for you. You have not asked. And let alone if you ask. He said, you know, I'm in trouble right now. Can you help me with this? Sure. What else can I do for you? A friend is more than willing to give. And even to change his mind. God, I cannot resist to share this. Give me just 2 or 3 minutes. This idea. Yes. You see, I'm just summarizing what is in here. You see, when you are so close to God, God even is willing to change his mind.
Wow. Have mercy.
Do you want a text? Yes. You know it. It is his experience with Moses. One day, God was so upset with the children of Israel. He said, I cannot continue like this. I have to finish this and start afresh with you, Moses. And Moses said, oh God, that does not sound like you. He said, are you going to exterminate these people? And people will laugh at us, at your name. People say, oh, this God, he attempted to bring a people from Egypt. Now he failed. Are you going to do that, God? Oh, Moses, you again. You want to change my mind now? Want me to change my mind? Yes, God, don't do it. Don't do it. We will make this work, God. We will continue. It's hard, but we will continue. I'm just make it the way in everyday life. And God said, okay, Moses, I will not do it. I will not do it. God is even, he's still God. He has the final say. It is just like we parents. The children can change our mind, but we decide to change our mind. So God, this is not kind of diminishing the power of God. It is actually, it is out of his own choice to change his mind. He said, okay, since you are my friend, I want to please you, I will not do it. And this is, I believe, this is what he wanted to do with Abraham. When he pleaded for Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham stopped too soon. Too soon. You should have continued probably. Not 10, but maybe 5 or 3. God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah and give them more time. Because of Abraham. Because of his friend. You know, God behaves like human being many times. He say, oh, my friend, since you are asking for this, I will do it. I will do it. So you see the answered prayer. If you are the friend of God, even if it is not the original will of God, the preferred will of God, God can adjust that just for you because he is your friend. And that is the way, that is the key to have our prayers answered. To be so close to God and becomes a friend of God. And then indeed, you become a prayer warrior. As if you had the mobile phone of God. And people will come, can you call God? Can you call God? I have this request. Yes, yes, I will call him now. And that number, there is no voicemail. There is no voicemail. Always open, ready to answer all the time. Amen. May the Lord help us. Amen. That our prayer will be changed. Yes. From today, we want to decide now when to commit our lives to God.
Amen.
That we will be indeed friends of God.
Amen.
What a title. Paul Ratsara, friend of God.
Right.
That is the title of Abraham. Abraham, friend of God.
Amen.
Just put your name there, friend of God.
Yes.
That is your business card. So and so, friend of God.
Amen.
Because you will be known as a friend of God.
Amen.
And that is religion.
Amen.
That is relationship
Amen.
With God. And you know what? When God comes, when Jesus comes, you will only take his friends home. Because he wants this relationship to remain during eternity.
Yes.
He wants, that's his eternal life, is to spend time with God, with this friend. We have started this relationship here. God does not want to stop it here. God wants to continue it forever.
Amen.
So we better know him now. We better be his friends.
Amen.
No matter what, we need to surrender our lives to God. And God just wants to be our friend.
Yes.
He longs to be our friend. This is what he wants. Are you ready? God is ready. But are you ready to be the friend of God? Are you willing to pay the price? Because for you to be that friend, you have to renounce some friendship of the world.
Yes.
The things of the world. We need to renounce those. Because darkness and light, they cannot live together. For the light to come, darkness must go.
Yes.
And that is the commitment that we need to have. We need to have that commitment. And the Lord will help us. One thing we need to do also, this is very critical for answered prayer. We need to have forgiving spirit.
Amen.
Forgiving spirit. Pastor Maya, can you give me 5 minutes? Yes. I know I respect time, so I don't want to encroach. I need to ask for permission before continue. Yes, he's a friend. This one, by the way, I have this. I can share this PowerPoint with you. Don't worry. I've not finished many slides, but those of you who want to have it, you can have it. Free of charge. Free of charge. So don't worry if you have not. I have just summarized it. But I want to share this. This is very critical when it comes, and I cannot leave this topic, answered prayer, without touching this, as if I really will not do justice to this topic. This forgiving spirit. You know, many times when we pray the prayer of Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, forgive me, forgive our debt as, can we pray that prayer sincerely? Relationship. Forgiving spirit is so important. God said it very clearly. We'll see on the PowerPoint that there is a big relationship between answered prayers and forgiving spirit. You know what? This is our very problem. Many of us, we don't have forgiving spirit. We hold grudges. And we cannot expect to have our prayers answered. Jesus said it. He said, you know what? When you go to the altar and you realize that you have something, a brother has something against you, What was the advice? What was the instruction? He said, go and do the offering and then you go to your friends. No. He said, leave that offering and go back. Go back first and then. Not then and first. To know that this is very critical. We need to have this forgiving spirit. Let me share you this story to help us to have the forgiving spirit. In 1994, that was the time of genocide in Rwanda. The two tribes, one tribe tried to exterminate the other tribe. Then the people, the other tribe, rushed to the churches, thinking that they will not come and kill in the church. So they rushed to this church. A big church can take thousands. And then they were there and they locked the door. After a while, there was a bang, bang. Open this door. Open it and they force it. The killers came to kill everyone. They said, who is the leader of this group? And then a man, tall man, said, yes, I am. And he happened to be our pastor, a Northern Adventist minister. A young man rushed toward him with a machete and split his head into two. And they started to kill everybody in that church. And they left. After one day or so, people came to collect the dead bodies, to bring them to a mass grave. And when they collected the bodies, they realized that one woman, the heart was still beating. Oh, she's not dead. Let's save her. So they rushed her to the hospital, available hospital. And she was treated. After 6 months, she was okay. Then she had to decide. Her name is Germaine, French name. Decided how she is going to spend the rest of her life. She had two choices. To live in bitterness and hatred, or to forgive and let go. And Sister Germaine decided that she is going to apply what is written in the book of Romans. To forgive and even to take care of her enemies. So she was told that in one of the prisons, those people were captured. So she went there and talked to the chief, the man in charge. Said, you know, I am an Adventist Christian. By the way, this lady is the wife of that pastor. Wow. The wife of the pastor. Wow. Said, I am an Adventist. I believe in the Bible. I want to apply what is written in the Bible to say that if your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink, water to drink. If he is hungry, give him something to eat. So I want to have a program for this prison. I want to prepare food for the prisoners. And the people in charge said, no way. They were thinking that there is a sinister motive. Maybe she would put poison and then finish. But they investigated her. And they were convinced that Sister Germaine was sincere. And they granted her that request. Said, yes, you may go ahead. So on a regular basis, Sister Germaine brought food to the prison. And at the same time, preaching the gospel. One day, while they were preaching and singing, a young man came and knelt down before Sister Germaine. He said, "Madam, do you recognize me?" Sister Germaine said, "No, I don't." "So you don't recognize me?" He said, "No." "Madam, would you forgive me?" You know that day when we killed people in that church, I was the one who split the head of your husband. But I feel sorry now. Would you forgive me?" And Sister Germaine looked at him, said, "Son, I have already forgiven long time ago. I decided in my heart that I will not hate. I will not spend my time with bitterness or grudges. I just want to love and serve the Lord. I have forgiven you." After some time, the government of Rwanda sent an order of amnesty. So all these prisoners, they were released. But now, the other tribe also, with revenge, tried to exterminate the other tribe. So Jean Damour, that is the name of the young man, he was about 24 years old. He was alone out of the prison. His family also, the family, the relatives were also killed while he was in the prison. He was alone. And he went and knocked at the door of Sister Germaine. He said, "Madam, I'm alone. I don't know where to go. What do you think?" And Sister Germaine said, "Listen, I'm also alone. Come, I'm going to adopt you. And we are going to wait for Jesus to come to meet our loved ones." And they were waiting. They are waiting for Jesus to come. In forgiving, this is what we need. How long are we going to be unforgiving? How long are we going to hold those grudges? Are we going to sacrifice answered prayers because of grudges? This is the time to let go. I have a sister. I had, I should say, just after me. The husband neglected her. Did not take care of her when she was pregnant. And I didn't know about this. And because of that, my sister died with the child of 8 months in her womb. And to my shame, I had a hard time to forgive my brother-in-law. My sister wrote a letter, a note, and I kept that note for a long time. Then, in my meditation, in my devotional life, I came face to face with myself. And it was so clear that I should not hate anyone. And I decided to forgive and let go. And peace came back to me. If you want our prayers to be answered, just do that. Let go. Amen. You may be right, but don't die in your rightness. Amen. Just forgive. Amen. And let go. Amen. Heaven is more important than our feeling. Amen. Just let go. Amen. Do you have someone in your heart today that you cannot talk to when he passes here? You try to avoid him in your church, in your family, today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Just forgive. Amen. Just let go. Amen. I know this is hard, but with God, it's possible.
Amen.
And that's why I want us to pray now. I want us to pray and kneel down, asking God to help us. Oh God, you want us to be happy and to be fulfilled in our relationship with you. But many times we decide to be far from you, and we just want to get things from you, not you. We confess our sins, Lord. We ask for forgiveness. But now here we are with our sinfulness, with our sins. Oh Lord, please cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many of us here, we have grudges in our hearts. We have hatred. We have guilt. Lord, we don't want to continue to have those. Please destroy the guilt. Destroy the grudges. Destroy the hatred. And replace them with love. With the spirit of forgiveness. Just fill this house now with love. And may the Holy Spirit pour that love in the hearts of everyone. Release us, Lord, from that grip and help us to be free. Thank you, Father, for helping us also to understand the key to answered prayer. Help us now to know your will and pray according to your will. And we will be happy walking with you. And our goal, ultimate goal, is to spend eternity with you. Help us not to miss heaven, and especially to miss that friendship, that eternal friendship that we have with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.